into the presence of God and just commune with Him. Just fellowship with Him in prayer. Is that possible?
Amen.
It is. It is indeed. You know, sometimes we need to listen. You know, just pray and say, Lord, here I am. What is your will for my life? Like Brother Rick preached the other Sunday. You know, God, just show me your will. Reveal to me what you have for me to do. And the Lord will speak back. Amen. David said, Lord, be not silent to me, lest I be like those people that are going into the pit. People that are lost don't hear from the Lord. David knew that. David realized that, and he said, Lord, be not silent unto me. Jesus said in John chapter 10, he said, my sheep hear my voice. A stranger they will not follow. Amen. They know the voice of the Lord. I'm glad I've heard his voice. Amen. The still small voice of the Lord. If you're here today and you're lost, the Lord may speak to you. If you hear his voice, harden not your heart. There may be somebody here that wants to praise God, or maybe something on your heart, or something that needs to be done in this service. I want us to follow the Lord. The Holy Spirit is able to dictate what we need to do in a service, and I want to just open it up for His leadership. Well, let's reverence the Lord. Let's go to God in prayer. He's on His throne and He's listening. And let's spend some time communing with Him this morning and asking for His power and His grace to direct our hearts as the Word of God is preached. Let's ask God to open our hearts that we might receive God's holy Word. God bless you. I appreciate this praise. Are you thankful? Man, glad you're saved. I'm glad I beheld the Lamb of God. They crucified my Savior. He's my Lord, and He is my God. He's my rock. He's my fortress and my shield and my buckler and my high tower. Amen. He is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Yes, the Lord is my shepherd. Brother John Buck, would you lead our hearts in prayer? Let us all pray. Yeah. Yes. Yes. And bless you. Bless you, Heather. Someone else before we pray.
You. Brother John, lead our hearts, please. Take your Bibles this morning and turn to the 15th chapter of John, St. John chapter 15. I want to begin reading in verse 9. John chapter 15, verse 9. I'm thankful for my friends. I've been truly blessed with friends. I thought back as I was meditating of the various friends that I've had through the years, that some of which were worldly friends and others of which were friends within the faith. We were saved. We had a common salvation. We had a common faith, as Brother Honeycutt was talking about this morning, and it was that faith that forged a friendship. My friends that I made in the faith are still my friends. Those friends that I made growing up and in my youth, worldly friends, well, I very seldom, very rarely ever hear from them. Eternal, long-lasting friendships are forged through the faith in Jesus Christ. Within the faith, we have a true friendship. And Jesus in this chapter is talking about being friends with the disciples. If you're saved, if you're really genuinely saved, you are a friend of Jesus Christ. And he says in these passages that true friends are obedient. They keep the commandments. And there's one prevailing principle commandment found that Jesus made, that he declared to his disciples over and over again. And it was mutual love one for another. That is the prevailing principle and the prevailing commandment that Jesus had, that he gave to the church and he gave to the disciples, that you love one another. Amen? And he says in this, he says, if you keep my commandment, then you, my commandment of love, you are my friend. So friends of Jesus must be friends. Did you get that? Those people who are friends of Christ must be friends. They must love one another. Let's look in the 15th chapter of John. I'll begin reading in verse 9. As the Father hath loved me. Now that's one of the prevailing subjects in the 15th chapter. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you. People, we cannot have the joy of the Lord if we don't have the love of the Lord. Yes, the joy that we have in the Christian walk and in the Christian work is a result of our love one toward another. He tells us in these passages that joy, that prevailing joy, that his joy, my joy, might remain in us. That your joy might be full, that it might run over. Have you ever had your cup to run over? The joy of Jesus. But you know there's a context to that. There's a guideline. There's a perimeter within that joy. And that is that we must have the prevailing love, God's love, in our lives and in our hearts, or that joy just won't be there. You will not have the joy of Jesus unless you have the love of God. He says, this is my commandment. Look at verse 12. Now he says this twice, but notice here in verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Now, to what degree did Christ love his disciples? Well, he tells us in the next verse. And he's telling them that the love, the same degree, the same kind of love that I have for you, you are to have one for another. Amen? And he doesn't just ask us to do it. This is not a recommendation, people. I know sometimes we look at the commandments of Christ and we say, you know, we think it's some option that we can obey or not obey, do or not do, that he's just recommending that we do these things. No, Jesus Christ has commanded it, that we love one another. And he says, if you keep this commandment, then you are my friend. Notice in this passage, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends. You are my friends. Wow, that's a powerful passage. I read this and I think, Jesus is telling, who is Jesus? Who is Jesus Christ? Jesus, the only begotten of the Father. Jesus is God manifest in the flesh, amen?
Jesus is eternal from everlasting to everlasting. Jesus created all things, and without Him was not anything created that was created. Jesus Christ is the only begotten of the Father, not only full of grace and truth, but the giver of grace and truth. He was there in the very beginning when God created this world, when the Bible says, let us make man. Jesus was there. And He says, I am your friend. I am your friend if you keep this commandment. You are my friend if you do whatever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you ask of the Father in my name, He may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. We've been studying about the social life of the believer. I don't know if these are necessary sermons or preachings, if you will, but they're lessons of how to have the right kind of social life as a believer. We've already noticed that in the second chapter of the book of Acts, that the church, when they got saved, when people were saved by the grace of God, they joined the church, they were baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. We read in the second chapter of Acts how that they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrines. We noticed in verse 43, I believe it is, if you want to turn over there, hurriedly, that they were in fellowship one with another, there was breaking of bread, and there was prayer. We noticed also that they continued daily in one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house. They did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. There was a society of fellowship forged as a result of being friends to Jesus. Listen, when we are friends of Christ and when we are walking in the light, John says in 1 John that if we walk in the light as He is in the light, what will happen? We will have fellowship one with another. Amen? And that the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse us, continually cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We have us walking in the light, us being close to the Lord Jesus Christ, and the natural results of that, the byproduct of that is that we will have fellowship one with another. Our fellowship, our friendship, and our worship is a threefold cord that is consummated in Christ Jesus. He is the one that has brought this about. Our closeness, our connection, our communion is a result of the cross at Calvary. Amen? Jesus Christ has brought us together. I'm afraid people go to church and they want to remain anonymous. That didn't happen in the New Testament. Everyone that got saved and was baptized, and I believe baptism be by immersion, everyone that followed the Lord in baptism and became a member of the Lord's church, they all became friends. Now, I had some friends growing up. Rick Gramsci was probably my closest friend during my adolescence. Rick and I, boy, you couldn't hardly separate us. I was Starsky and he was Hutch, you know? And actually he dated Angie and I dated who he married, Rosie. We switched. I mean, we were friends. We shared everything. I'm glad I ended up with Angie and he ended up with Rosie. But nevertheless, we shared everything. What I had was his. What his was mine. If somebody was an enemy of his, they were my enemy. We had fights, sometimes, sometimes he would beat me up, but we were still friends. He's the only person that ever gave me a black eye, and I let him. But we were still friends. We were friends. There was nothing that he could do to me or I could do to him that would jeopardize our friendship. And you know, that's the way it is in the cause of Jesus Christ. Jesus informed us that we were never to let anything breach our fellowship. Amen. That we were friends if we went to the altar and we wanted to commune with the Father, if we had an ought one with another. Amen. We had to go get that thing made right. Amen. Leave our gift at the altar. Bible teaches us that if we do something that offends another brother or sister, what are we supposed to do? What does the 18th chapter of Matthew tell us? Huh? Yes, go and talk to them alone. And that alone part is very important. Amen? Amen. Don't talk about them. Go talk to them alone. Get that thing worked out. And so our friendship within the faith, this fellowship of believers, they became friends. They were close to one another. We notice that the worshipers of Christ, all of them throughout Asia, called the Apostle Paul, their friend. We read about that in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 19 verse 31. Acts chapter 27 verse 3. We notice that Paul constantly called these believers throughout Rome and Asia his friends. Like in the 16th chapter of Romans, he would say, my beloved or my best friend. You know, church is a good place to find friends. I didn't know whether I was going to use this or not. Brother Taylor said to me last Sunday on the way out, he said... And this is a wonderful statement. I thought about this, but he said, you know, he said, Mary Frances is my best friend. You know, church is a good place to find a husband or wife. He said, I don't know if I should say this or not. Now, I think I'm going to say it, Brother Taylor. Forgive me. So you're supposed to forgive one another. He said, Mary Frances is my best friend, and I got to go on a honeymoon with her. And you know, that's the way it is. Your wife, your husband should be your best friend. Amen? And I got to thinking about that. You know, why aren't families of friends? Why aren't they families of friends? I can honestly say one of my best friends in the world is my son. Wow. You know, and a lot of that is not the result of us being son and father. But the result of that is because we are saved by the grace of God and we have a common interest. See, the Bible teaches us clearly that in order for us to have friends, we must have some of the similarities in taste. We have to have something in common. Turn with me to the book of Samuel for just a few moments. There's a profound statement, and I believe this is important for us to examine. David and Jonathan, they are a type of the friendships that would be structured within the church. The Bible actually says that in 18th chapter of 1 Samuel, verse 3, that Jonathan and David made a covenant because they loved one another's own souls. They were connected in spirit. Now, I realize that there are people that are unequally yoked. I realize there are people that get married to unsaved people. We have a spouse that's saved. We have one that's lost. And I know there must be difficulties that arise as a result of that. But when you are in communion, when you are in fellowship, when you are in covenant, because you both know Jesus, there's a powerful connection there. A spiritual connection. See, we're talking about being spiritually connected in our fellowship, being spiritually connected in our friendships, and being spiritually connected in our worship. Now, I know this is a big subject. It may take me a long time to get through it. But the most profound, one of the most
profound statements that you'll find in the Bible probably is found in the book of Samuel. And it is in the book of Samuel where that in verse 41 of the 20th chapter. Look over there just for a moment. Verse 41, and I'm not going to go through all the setting of this, but David arose out of a place toward the south and fell on his face to the ground and bowed himself three times. Now he's bowing himself toward Jonathan. And they kissed one another and wept one with another until David exceeded. And Jonathan said to David, "Go in peace, forasmuch as we have sworn both of us in the name of the Lord." See, their friendship was founded, it was forged in knowing Jesus, in knowing the Lord. Their covenant and their connection, their love one for another, was a result of their love for the Lord. There must be similar tastes, or you can't have friends. I'm thankful that I have the privilege of not only having a daughter, but having a daughter as a friend. Huh? A daughter as a friend. You know, a lot of people talk about their children in various ways. They talk about their children having great accomplishments, doing great things in the world. But I'm glad that I can just simply say that I have a family that is a family of friends. And God has a family. Amen? God has a family. And this family consists of a family of friends. We are a friend to the family, and we are a family of friends. Amen? That's what the church is. And we commune one with another. Notice here in this passage, he says, "We've sworn both in the name of the Lord." This is one of the most profound Old Testament statements outside of what Ruth said. And what does the word Ruth mean? You guys remember from last week? The word Ruth means friendship. Friendship. And she said to Naomi, "Whether thou goest, I go. Where you die, I die. Your God is going to be my God." I'm telling you, that's friendship in the Lord. Ruth, the true essence of friendship, according to God, is knowing the Lord and being connected one with another in covenant. Is the church connected together in a covenant? Are we? Are we genuinely connected together in covenant? One with another? Notice here. He says, "The Lord," saying, "The Lord be between me and you, between my seed and thy seed forever." And he arose and departed. See, there's that kind of connection between us. Now I want to say this. We noticed in Proverbs chapter 13. This is worthy of us noting and understanding. Proverbs chapter 13 verse 20. Where it says that he who walks with the wise will be wise. And he that has a companion of fools will suffer harm. You know, there's a lot to that passage, that proverb, the promise that you will be affected significantly by the people you associate with. Young people, listen to me. Amen. Listen to me closely. It's important for you to have good Christian friends. Amen. You associate with wise people, you will become wise. You hang out with fools, you will suffer. It doesn't say you'll become a fool, but you will suffer harm. You hear that? They will affect your life. Amen. We need to be very careful. We need to be very, very careful. who we choose to be our friends. Wise associations create wisdom. Foolish associations create pain.
We need friends that really challenge us. I define friendship according to the scriptures as people who accept you, just as you are and love you too much to leave you there. Isn't that what Jesus does? In Romans chapter 8, isn't he seeking to transform us into the image of his Son?
Are you a friend of Jesus? Does Jesus want you to be more holy? Does Jesus want you to be more righteous? Does Jesus want you to be more like him? Doesn't he help you get there? Amen.
And even in the 15th chapter, he says at the beginning of that, he said, if you abide in me, and that's the key to that friendship, abiding in Christ, he said that you'll be fruitful to the Father. And before he concludes that chapter, he says, I'll send you the Comforter to help you along the way. Friendship within the fellowship. Wow. This friendship within the fellowship, it challenges us. We need friends that hold us accountable. I mentioned the friendship proverb chapter in Proverbs 27, where it talks about a faithful friend. A faithful friend will challenge you. We need friends that keep us accountable. Amen?
Amen.
Anonymity at church is the result of people not wanting to be accountable. But if we associate with the righteous, what will happen? We will become more righteous. If we associate with the holy, we shall become what? More holy. If we associate with the wicked, what will happen? We will suffer harm. But when you associate with the righteous, it says that they will counsel you. For the Bible says that it's sweet when a friend gives us hearty counsel. In Proverbs 27 and verse 9. We are told in the scriptures that we are to bear one another's burdens. I'm afraid this social life of the believer today has turned into a potluck. People, churches to be more than that. I'm fearful that we have turned church into some kind of country club. Church is more than that.
Amen.
It's a friendship. It's a connection. Notice there, Jonathan and David. What did Paul say a little later in writing to the churches? That we would weep with those that weep. We would rejoice with those that rejoice. There would be a closeness. There would be a singleness of heart. One philosopher said that true friendship is two souls in one body. Connected. The Bible says the church was of one mind and one accord. Actually, the Bible teaches us that the church was united at the soul. One at heart, one at spirit, connected. Our connection as friends. Jesus said, if you abide in me, if you will abide in me, this thing would be made easy. The fruits of friendship. I don't have time this morning to get into all the fruits of friendship. But I'm afraid that any time, and I'm going to make this real clear, any time that we have a falling out within the faith, it's the result of someone within, whether it's you or the other person, not being close to Jesus. Not being close to Jesus. Not leaning, when we're not leaning our heads upon His presence, when we're not, as Mary, sitting at His feet, any breach in our friendships or fellowships is usually, no, I'll say always, it's always the result of either one of the two parties not staying close to Christ. For Jesus said, if you're my friend, you'll keep my commandment, and my commandment is that you have love one with another. Amen. What kind of love? The same kind of love that I've had toward you. What kind of love was that? Sacrificial love. Amen. All the counseling that I do with couples in the premarital counseling class, I have them read a book entitled The Blessing. It was written back in 79. Gary Smalley was one of the co-authors of that book. And he was talking about the blessings. The blessings of us being connected. The blessings of that are bestowed upon us as a result of our friendship and as a result of our faith in Jesus Christ. This friendship that we read about in the Scriptures, the friends of a friend, the friends of Jesus being friends, is the result of faith. Without faith, you cannot please God. Without faith, you cannot be a friend of God. Without faith, you cannot be a friend of Christ. Let's look in James just for a moment. Look in James chapter 2 and verse 23. The Scriptures say that Abraham believed God and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. Notice there, James 2 and 23. James 2 and 23. And the Bible says that throughout the Old Testament, Abraham was called what? What was Abraham called? What was Abraham noted for? Huh? Being a friend of God. Look at that passage close. James tells us here in this passage, he says Abraham was God's friend. But Abraham became God's friend through faith. This friendship was the result of him believing in God and having a work done in his heart, receiving the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. Amen. And thus he became the friend of God. You know how this friendship works in the faith? When you get saved, when you experience the forgiveness of sin, when you go to the foot of the cross and you look on him whom you pierced, and you've been convicted of your sins, you repent of your sins, and you've been forgiven of sin, there's a spirit that comes in you that corresponds with this spirit that's found in God's holy word. To where you can read how that he's commanded these things and you want to do it. Not as a servant, no. A servant is forced to do it. But you do it as a friend. Your will is not forced, it's something you will to do. You want to do. And he says that Abraham believed God. And you go back through these Old Testament passages like in 2 Chronicles 20 and 7 where it talks about Abraham being a friend of God forever and his seed. When you look in like Isaiah 41 and 8 where it talks again about Abraham being God's friend, we know that Abraham believed God and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. If you're ever going to be God's friend, you're going to have to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. The promise, the faith that Abraham exercised was that he believed in the promised seed. Genesis, it says in the 15th chapter, when we read about how God preached to Abraham, preached Jesus to Abraham. Amen? Abraham believed the Lord Jesus Christ, being the promised seed, making the sacrifice that would bring eternal salvation, typified in him offering up Isaac on Mount Moriah. He believed God. It was imputed unto him for righteousness. He got saved. Amen. Abraham got saved by grace. Through faith. That not of himself. It was a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Abraham believed God. He exercised faith. He trusted in the Lord. And the moment he believed to the salvation of his soul, he became a friend of God. And I contend this morning that everyone who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ with all of their heart and gets saved by the grace of God becomes God's friend. You are are my friend, he says.
See, what happens when you get saved is the love of God is shed abroad in your heart. Amen? And then when Jesus comes along and commands us to love one another, well, it's fairly easy to do when we are in the spirit and not in the flesh. Amen? We have a relationship one with another, not one of which is carnal, but one in which is spiritual. For that which is flesh is flesh. That which is carnal is carnal. And my friend, you cannot have a carnal relationship with God and be God's friend. You must be born of the Spirit. Amen? This fellowship of friends is a result of God's power and His Spirit. It's spiritual. We're spiritually connected, one with another. And with God. I appreciate your attention. I want us to stand and sing a verse of some song. My invitation this morning is this: come be God's friend. That was going to be the title of the message. Oh, well. Yeah, I guess I gave it at the end. That's all right. Come be God's friend. I appreciate my earthly friends, but oh, being a friend of Jesus is much better. He is a faithful, faithful friend. The most faithful friend you could ever have. Though I cherish the friendship with my wife and my son and my daughter and with all of you. No greater friend can a man have than what he can have in Christ Jesus. If you'll stand and come, God wants to be your friend.
Number 256.
You cannot be within this fellowship of friends until you come to God. It's made up of baptized believers committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. They make a covenant in the Lord. Amen? Just like David and Jonathan. Like Ruth and Naomi. Come, be a friend of God.